So this will tie in very well if you were here for adult Bible study. I suspect many of us remember our excitement and just our zeal when we were first saved. When you were a young Christian, just so excited, maybe even turned off family because you were so busy preaching to them. What happened with that, though? Sometimes with knowledge, head knowledge, doubt started maybe creeping in. You know, kids go off to college, and teachers, science has proved otherwise, or there are inconsistencies in the Bible. And so we begin to learn things that just aren't so, but they cause doubts. Some of the worst, in no amens here, pastors, church people, just suck the life out of you. Paul's message today to the Galatians, which has been tied into everything he's been saying, resist false teachers. He's been talking about the gospel, the good news, faith, promise, that's the sole basis for our standing before God, not works, because Jewish legalists had come in and started giving them more facts. And, if you're really a Christian, you will believe these things, especially with circumcision as more than just the physical act, but circumcision almost as a umbrella for keeping the Mosaic law. And if you were here last time, we talked about freedom, that only Christ brings freedom. And then the true works of love, we work, we love, we do good deeds because we have freedom in Christ. Circumcision, which, like I said, means is code for you must keep the entire law of Moses, brings bondage. Why would we want to go back to bondage? And so now in this section, just a few short verses, Paul uses very short staccato verbs or sentences with a lack of connecting words, just the Greek structure. And so it comes across very emotional, almost an outburst, before he's going to turn to the more exhortation, the last couple chapters here of the letter, where he's going to talk more about what does this mean for our lives. But it's you should be able to sense, just by the writing style, Paul's urgency and emotion as he just choppy sentences. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 12. Galatians 5, verses 7 to 12. You ran well, Paul says. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear this his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? The offense of the cross has ceased. Verse 12, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. So some pretty strident sentences. You ran well. You started off so well with the gospel and faith. But who has now hindered you? That's can be used in a military context of blocking the road. So your progress was going great, but somebody came in and cut in on you, if you have the NIV. There might be a little bit of a play on words there, that cut in like circumcision, cutting, but they blocking your way, hindering you from obeying the truth of the truth of the gospel. That's what he's been talking. Don't add to the gospel. This persuasion, you know, where's this coming from? It does not come from God who has called you. Chapter 1, verse 6. God is the one that had called them, faith in Christ alone. And so whatever this teaching is, it does not come from God. Verse 9 then, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We'll talk more about that, but you know the purpose of leaven, yeast, you ladies, especially when you're baking, what does that do for the bread? I have confidence you, though, Paul says, in you, in the Lord. In other words, here's a little, you know, I'm Paul, I'm the apostle, but I'm also your brother. And I have confidence that even though these troublers are coming, in the Lord, God will preserve you. And so, you know, there's a little encouragement. Don't do this, watch out, warning. But I still have confidence in you. I haven't given up on you. That you will have no other mind but whoever troubles you. So maybe diplomatic, I'm sure Paul knew exactly who the ringleaders were. But he sort of, God doesn't respect people. So whoever it is, God will take care of it. And then he says, and this is sort of strange, and if I was, you know, if I'm still pre-circumcision, maybe he was being accused, or, well, Paul, as a Jew, used to talk about circumcision. And a few years later, he will take Timothy on his second, I believe it is, missionary trip, and he will have Timothy circumcised just as a cultural thing for the Jews, not as a means of standing before God. Justification is the big word. So if I was still preaching that, then why am I being persecuted? So in other words, if I were going along with the crowd and preaching what the world wants to hear, you might say, why am I being persecuted for this? And then the offense of the cross has ceased. In other words, if I'm still doing this, then I wouldn't be persecuted and people wouldn't be mad at me for preaching the offense of the cross, like we sang, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world. And then verse 12 is sort of almost a sarcastic, you know, outburst. I could wish those who trouble you, who are causing this problem, you know, the ringleaders of the real problem here, false teaching, would even cut themselves off. So they talk about circumcision. Why don't they go the whole way then? And why don't they actually castrate themselves? It's pretty graphic. So what are some things we can take from this? Well, that's what we just did, sorry. The danger of defection from the gospel. And Gerard did a great job talking about how this has crept into the church. Jesus crucified, the cross, the blood. Why are the Galatians in danger of defecting? Well, I will remind you of some verses from way back at the beginning of the series, chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel, Paul says, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in his grace of Christ to a different gospel. This is not the gospel, God's gospel. You're turning to another gospel, which is not another of the same kind. It's a different gospel. But there are some who trouble you, here's these same people, and want to pervert or distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, Paul says, or an angel from heaven, or a celebrity preacher or another religion, my paraphrase, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema. That's a harsh condemnation. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received from God, God's word, through the Apostle Paul, God gets to define his gospel. If anybody preaches other than that, let him be accursed, judged, condemned. That's pretty harsh. You know, that's in our nice society. We don't like being that definitive. Black and white, hard thoughts, thinking, makes people's head hurt in our culture, unfortunately. So the danger of defection is serious, accursed. But who are these false teachers? James talks about this in James 3:1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, you know, pastors, just any position of authority, you might say, in the church, knowing that we, the teachers, shall receive a stricter, New King James says, judgment. So in other words, you know, my role as a pastor in this church, God will hold me accountable for what I feed his sheep, and I'll receive a stricter judgment, or because I should know better. Now, don't say amen to that. But Jesus in Matthew 18 said, woe to the world because of offenses, sin. For offenses, sin must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense, the sin, comes. So the role of teachers, false teachers, what needs to be stood up for, it's not the teacher's message, it's God's message. And teachers of God's word need to rightly handle, as Paul would tell young Timothy, rightly handle the word of truth. And then that word leaven, you know this, but that's a picture often in the Bible. Leaven permeates, yeast permeates. Often, most of the time in the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin's permeating effect, like yeast that affects the entire lump of dough. Like in verse 7 where I said that military word, the cutting in or hindering on obeying the church. So it just starts so small, but then it blossoms and causes the whole lump, the whole church to be affected by the leavening effect. And so in this context, Paul is talking about circumcision, not just the act of being circumcised. He didn't care about that. Like you said, he will in a few years have Timothy circumcised for social reasons to have fellowship with the Jews. But it's a picture of how just circumcision is outsized in its effect with regard to the bondage of the law. And back in chapter 2, when the Jewish opponents had first come, even Barnabas played the hypocrite, Peter, that's why Paul had to get after Peter, because they were being hypocritical, and even Barnabas was carried away. So teachers, that little bit of leaven can affect a lot more than just, we'll say, the teacher. And then the offense of the cross, listen to this quote by a guy named Michael Buhr, one of the big thick commentaries I have. Within the context of Galatians, the offense of the cross points to the natural Jewish reaction to recoil both from the crucifixion of the Messiah. You know, our Messiah is not going to be crucified. Being hung on a tree is a curse. So they recoil from that as under a curse and from any message that negates adherence to the law. That's the important part. In other words, a reliance not upon any personal action, but only on grace and faith. Okay, I've talked about this. The church, one of the most serious problems, which directly contradicts the gospel message, is self-righteous people are offended by grace. We want to do something to show how good we are, how self-righteous we are. In fact, an illustration, you don't know this guy, but when I was up in Nebraska, a man in the community wanted to have a Hebrew roots Bible study. And I love Hebrew roots. Today's Tisha B'Av. I love Jewish things. I'm very pro-Israel. And I thought, that sounds great. But I actually cared about those people, not you. But I thought, before I advertise this, I'm going to go and just screen it, you might say. And sure enough, this guy, got into the customs and things, but that began to turn into, look how zealous the Jewish people are by keeping kosher, by doing. And by the end of the, or two-thirds of the way through the study, he was just getting so angry at greasy grace, sloppy agape, if you know that word, that somehow just the work of Christ on the cross, just that's too easy. Easy believism, nominal Christians, and there's very much truth to that. But the answer is not then to require. And he actually wrote a letter to the people of the study, complaining about greasy grace. And they wrote back all the participants and said, he's been fired. He is no longer able to teach this. And I thought, that's good for them, because taking a good teaching on Jewish practices and turning that into our standing before God as required for salvation, that is an extreme example of what the Judaizers, these Jewish opponents, and what a lot of churches do today. And so circumcision, once again then, represent man's attempt to be right with God, self-righteous. God's lucky to have me. I'm good enough that God accepts me. Probably not you people, but that's with pride. That was the original sin that took Satan down in the beginning. And because we are offended by not being told we are good people. How many of us use that term loosely, that, oh, he's a good person? What does that really mean? Remember how Jesus answered that to, who is good? There's none good but God. And that's what Gerard this morning in the adult Bible study, people are offended to hear they're sinners and they might need grace. I'm not dead in sin. I'm only, maybe I'm have a little bit of flu symptoms. I'm sick. And my goodness will overcome that in the big scale, where I'm more than 51% good, so that'll get me into God's heaven. Folks, I will just say this bluntly, that is pride. That is pride, that we think we bring anything to the table before a holy God. And that's why the Ten Commandments of the Progressive Church, that'll make a good sermon sermon, topical sermon study sometime, because what has crept in is man, not God's grace. And to me, it all starts with, you don't understand theology properly. The person, the holiness, the otherness, the transcendence of God. You really don't think God is that holy if you think you are good enough to get there by yourself. What is acceptable in our culture today is generic spiritualism. You know, God talk. You know, listen to athletes. You know, I just want to praise God for my touchdown. Rarely do you hear the J word. And definitely not Jesus is the only way. Because once again, that's very narrow-minded. You know, how offensive that my goodness religion isn't equal to your Christianity. For the military pilots especially will understand this. You know, so preachers that preach sin, grace, aren't everybody's favorites a lot of times. And in the military, they have a saying, Scott, if you're taking flak, you're over the target. I like that. Paul in 1 Corinthians said, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, for all those reasons we've sort of talked about, a crucified Messiah, and to the Greeks, you know, think of smart people, philosophy, and to the Greeks, foolishness. I mean, Jesus, come on, you narrow-minded Christians, you know, and then it can't be that simple. You know, surely you're just too naive to understand that Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And that creeps into the church. Very easy for pastors, missionaries, even us when we're witnessing, especially to people we love, families, we don't want to upset them. So it's very easy for, you know, which we talked about this morning. Sorry, you guys have to put up with me. Maybe you don't. Vote me out. It's a natural sentiment to want to be liked. Good thing I don't like you. And you don't like me, so I can tell you the truth. But it's very tempting to water the gospel down. And here for John, you Baptist, here you go. You want some alliteration to make the gospel more palatable. You know, the sin is offensive. We don't want to feel wormy. We don't want to feel bad. We want to feel good about ourselves. So palatable. It's popular. You guys want to be, not you guys, but people want to be told how good they are and why, you know, the church building's the refrigerator to preserve our piety. Yes, you people are much better than those people down the road, you know, type of attitude. So palatable, popular, pleasing. We want our ears tickled. We want to be told things that we already agree with. You know, you've heard the phrase confirmation bias. We tend to agree with or believe things that we already agree with. That's not open-minded thinking. And then finally, pleasant. We want an entertaining show. I guarantee you guys don't want to see me try to juggle. With my left hand, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to. But, you know, I'll have a joke night, you know, where, you know, if you want me to tell stories and be entertaining, you've got the wrong person. But that's what a lot of church, we just want to go be entertained. You know, good sound machine, fog machine, disco ball, good music, all those things. You know, music is really the emotional heart of the church. That's good when it's solid, music, you know, but we are here, all of us, including me, of course, to have our real needs met in the person of Christ. We were talking about some of these, Jared was mentioning some of the big names throughout the 1900s of the rise of therapy in church. Church is more about my felt needs, what I want. It's not about worshiping God and praising Him for saving wretches like us. And you've heard me use that term a lot of sermons. What passes for sermons that people like, that are palatable, popular, pleasing, and pleasant, are MTD, moralistic, therapeutic deism. And that's, pastors will be judged for that. And I take that seriously, or I try to, and hold me accountable. So, I know you love my stand-up comedian routine, but if that's all you remember every Sunday, that's bad. And then finally, a quote from another thick book guy. The message of the cross is a scandal or a stumbling block because it is an affront to human pride. Human beings take umbrage in being told that even their best works are stained with evil. Think about that. That everything they do is insufficient to be right with God, and that the only basis for right standing with God is the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood. You know, that's why, that's just so barbaric to talk about the blood. But folks, the Christian church is founded on the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we go to communion, that's what we remember.